Does anyone remember about 5 years ago, there was a bakery in New York City that came up with this pastry, and everyone was waiting in long lines, like around the block, for it. They invented a krona. And remember this? It was a half croissant, half donut hybrid thing. And the hype was so big about this pastry that people were waiting in line for hours, like down around the block, to get this thing. I bring this up because what do you wait online for? What gets you hyped up? I don't know. Some people line up for the new iPhone. You know, they show on the news. The Krona thing they did, it was on the news. Like the morning programs, you know. And people line up for the iPhone down around the block. People line up dressed in costume for, like, when the Harry Potter books are coming out. For the Lord of the Rings movies, or Star Wars. People line up for concerts. Waiting in line can be tedious. But we do it anyway. We wait in line for the right roller coaster at the amusement park, you know. We do it anyway because we think it's worth it, and we don't bother waiting in line for the things that don't interest us. So to connect this to the first reading here, do you remember the Charlton Heston Ten Commandments film? When they're in the desert and, you know, making their way to the Promised Land, it's just the filmmakers, they had lines of extras, and they were just snaking through the desert for these big, long, wide shots of just lines of people. With Moses at the front. At the beginning, they were eager to follow Moses out into the desert for the sake of being free from slavery, right? But eventually, the lines got too long, and it got difficult, and they start to complain. That's what this reading is today. They start to complain. There's not enough food. We're all going to die. There isn't enough water, you know? They were all on board with the hype until it got too difficult. So what does God do here? He to keep them safe along the way, to make sure they're going to make it to the Promised Land, he gives them food for while they're waiting online. They get quail, they get manna. But it's just for while they're waiting online. What they really want to get to is the Promised Land, flowing with milk and honey. But he's got to whet their appetite. He's got to keep them, the appetizers. You know, they got to be... they can't think that this is the meal that they're waiting for, the manna in the desert and the quail. For a similar reason, though, people line up to see Jesus. It's this whole reading today. They're following him. They're chasing him down. These whole crowds are looking for him, and they find him. There's a lot of hype, which honestly, it makes some people worried. I can imagine, too, the other bakeries in Manhattan upset that this place with the cronut is getting all the attention. But as we know, Jesus, he knows there's hype built up around him. He wants to make sure that it's justified, that they're there for the right reasons. And he tells them, you're here because I fed you, not because you want to hear what I have to say. So there's justified hype, and then there's unjustified. When the thing that we've been waiting for doesn't live up to the expectation, you know, especially if we've waited in line for a long time for this and it doesn't satisfy, and it, you know, the movie was just not what it was all hyped up to be. We hate that letdown. We don't like being let down. And there's a temptation to think like, well, then I'm not putting my trust or my hope or I'm not going to get hyped up about anything. That's kind of, Buddhism has an answer to that sort of situation, and that's what it is. It's don't get hyped up about anything. Don't desire anything. Don't want. Ultimately, don't put your trust in anything. Don't hope for anything. Then you'll never be disappointed, and you'll be free from all attachments. And that's like the Buddhist goal. You'll be free from all attachments. Nothing will get you upset, and nothing will get you too happy. The thing, though, is that helpful? Is that good for us? Why would I have the ability to want things if it's better for me to not want, or to not want at all? And here is where I think the Buddhists, it's appealing, but I think ultimately they got it wrong, and the Christians have it right. Because Jesus wants us to want. He wants us to hope. He wants us to anticipate. But we've got to want and to hope for and to anticipate for the right things. We can't put our trust in earthly things. We can't put our trust in the earthly, in earthly whatever, people, rulers, experiences. That roller coaster just wasn't what I thought it was going to be better. Well, don't get all hyped up about it next time. Or hope for a better roller coaster, you know. The land flowing with milk and honey is not on this earth. But that's the thing we got to hope for. That's what we have to ultimately be having an appetite for. We can have a taste of it while we're here on earth. All these things can be a taste of heaven, but none of them can satisfy completely, and we shouldn't expect them to. We should expect them to be able to satisfy for a time. We should expect them to be able to satisfy partially, but we can't expect that any of this, anything on earth, can satisfy completely. We can enjoy the quail and the manna while we wait in hope for the even better things to come. But we can't put all of our expectations into that. In fact, we can even arrange our lives on earth as if we were in heaven. To some degree, we can have a foretaste of heaven while here on earth. We can love here the way love is shared in heaven, to some degree. We can experience beauty here in a similar way to the way we will experience beauty in heaven, to some degree. We can even eat here in a way similar to that is the banquet of heaven, to some degree. But every good meal, then, is a foretaste of heaven, every good meal. Heck, maybe even a Corona. I don't know. I've never had one. But the bread of angels, the body of Christ, that is a true bread from heaven. And that gives life.